picture Jesus kneeling with a towel around his waist and a basin in his hands. That moment was never meant to stand alone. What happened in the upper room was preparing the disciples for what was about to happen at the cross. When Jesus washed their feet, he was giving them a glimpse of his heart. He was showing them the kind of king he had came to be. But before the night was over, that same heart of service would lead him down a path to a painful road. In just a few hours, the hands that had gently washed the dust from his disciples' feet would be nailed to a cross. The one who stooped to serve would willingly lay down his life. What Jesus demonstrated with a towel, he would ultimately fulfill with his sacrifice. That helps us to understand why the words in Matthew 20:28 are so important. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. When Jesus spoke about giving his life as a ransom, he was talking about something much deeper than simply setting an example for people to follow. He was describing the very reason he came. Humanity's greatest need was not more information, better habits, or stronger discipline. What we needed was a Savior. The reality is that every one of us in this room experiences the effects of sin. We know what it feels like to carry guilt. We know what it feels like to carry regret. And we know what it feels like to burden brokenness. We know what it's like to fall short of who God created us to be. No matter how hard we try, we discover we cannot fix the ailments of the human heart on our own, and that's sin. That's what the cross is for. Long before Jesus was born in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah described what the coming Messiah would do. It's in chapter 53, verse 5. It reads, "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." At Calvary, those words became our reality. Most of us have been taught, either directly or indirectly, that greatness is measured by success. We naturally assume that moving up is far better than stooping down. Yet when we look at Jesus, we find someone who possessed all the authority and all the power of the world, and yet he still chose humility. Before we can learn to walk in service to others well, we need to understand and know how deeply we are loved and we are served by Jesus. And once that truth settles deep within our hearts, service begins to look different. We stop serving because we feel obligated, and we begin serving because we're grateful. We stop looking for recognition and become more concerned with our faithfulness. We stop asking who notices our service and become more content knowing it only matters that God does. Now, when I was in Iowa at First Christian Church, I was the outreach chair, and we did a lot of local outreach and missions. And we had a gentleman who was really adamant that he wanted to be involved in outreach, and he wanted to be involved in our Christmas baskets. Now, the tricky thing with people at Christmas, and especially people who are struggling, a lot of them are also seated in humility in that they don't want you to know their struggle. And so many people sign up for service or they sign up for help, not really wanting to have that face-to-face contact because they're embarrassed or they're ashamed. Okay? So this gentleman who had come into our circle and was really excited about serving, and he was the one providing all of the items for our care baskets, did not like the idea that we were not going to ring a doorbell on everybody we dropped a basket to. He was adamant that he needed to personally hand that basket off to anybody who received one. So when you think about that, and you think about giving, what's the first thought that comes to your mind? Is that service that's seated in humility and in grace and in mercy? Or is that a type of service that's seated in egocentrism and self? He wanted the recognition. And so as a collaborative group and as a church body, that was something that was very difficult for us to move through, is holding him in grace and mercy himself and trying to also honor the fact that he was giving, and he was giving greatly to the church. We had a lot of baskets to give, but also explaining to him the purpose of our giving is not so everyone knows. The purpose of our giving is out of love, right? Or to give without the recognition behind it, because all that matters is that God sees our heart, okay? So when we walk out and we move through our community, it doesn't matter what everybody else sees. It matters what God sees. And so when I was studying this week and I was really looking at service, that moment in my life kept circling back to me. And it kept stirring in my heart of a really good example of what not to do. Because I think sometimes it's very easy for our own humanity to take control of us. And when we're giving, we don't realize our showiness that happens when we're in service to others, right? We're supposed to kind of be behind the scenes. So most of the acts of service that we do that shape God's kingdom happen away from the spotlight, and they happen away from stages. They happen when parents make sacrifices for their children. They happen when friends carry each other's burdens through trauma and hardship. They happen when we as believers have forgiveness and don't store bitterness in our hearts. And they happen when ordinary people like you and I move quietly to obey God in everyday moments. Those things, as we've talked about before and in other sermons that I've talked about, they don't draw the attention of the world, but they do draw attention to God. And perhaps that's the challenge Jesus is placing before us today. Not whether we can become important, not whether we can achieve more recognition with our friends or our families or our jobs, not whether we can climb a little higher, not if we can compare ourselves to someone else, but whether we're willing to walk in his footsteps. Are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to serve? Are we willing to follow the Savior who carried a towel? Are we willing to trust the path of humility, of service, and self-giving love that's still the path that leads the closest to God's heart? Because in God's kingdom, greatness has never been about status. It's never been about status. What it has been about is a deep and nurturing and giving love. And nowhere do we see this more clearly than at the cross, where Jesus gave everything he had so that we could have life. When we stand at the foot of the cross, we begin to understand what true greatness looks like. It's not power over people. It's not recognition. It's love. And I believe that that's the example that Christ left for us. I believe that's the life he calls us to live. And I believe that's the kind of greatness that lasts forever. Before we move into prayer, I have a little activity I want to do, and it doesn't require you to jump up and stand on one foot, and it doesn't require you to make notes. I just want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to just have a moment of silence and really think about the very last time that you served, not of obligation, not from duty, not because somebody put you on a schedule, but you just served out of the love of your heart, without expectation of anything in return. Can you take a moment and do that with me? Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to talk about your word, but most importantly, to talk about the cross. I know that in multiple sermons, I keep circling back to that moment of Jesus hanging on that cross. But Lord, I believe in my heart that your message is true, in that everything that we do is in love, and everything that we do is circled back to that moment that he gave everything so that we could sustain this life. Lord, please help us to be the example of his hands and feet. Help us to always try to see light in the darkness, and help us to be a beacon to one another, that when we fall short, which we will do, that we can be a congregation of believers that holds each other up, that loves each other through it, and helps each other walk a path to sanctification in you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to speak. Thank you for this amazing congregation. And Lord, thank you for all that you give and all that you are. Amen. Christ invites all of us to the table who profess Christian faith, who endeavor to be at peace with their neighbors, and who see the mercy of God. The hymn of communion is "The Spirit of the Living God." It is going to be number 259.